Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. Well, it has been a crazy year, or last couple of years, of disease and different things that have popped up on our radar. Obviously, we've been watching COVID-19, and then we've had some anthrax a little bit in North Dakota over the summer. And one that we've also been watching over the last few years, kind of getting on the radar, is West Nile virus. And we're starting to see now an increase as we get into the fall months to find out more about what's going on. Bringing in the North Dakota State Veterinarian. His name is Dr. Ethan Andrus. Ethan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You know, with everything else going on in the world and been dealing with droughts and everything, now we can stack a little bit of West Nile virus on top of it. So what have you seen when you talk about like an increase in the state? Is it normal, or is there kind of an abnormality with this?
Well, I think we're seeing a slight trend in the increase in West Nile in our horses and reported animals with the disease. And so I guess it's made our radar, and so we just want to send out an announcement to remind everyone that it's still out there, even though it hasn't had much attention lately.
Okay, so when we're talking about livestock or animals that have been affected so far, I don't know if you have the story maybe of the press release in front of you, but who or what has been affected so far? I know one of them was actually a sheep.
Yeah, I think West Nile is typically a virus that's spread in the bird population, and then other animals end up being seeing the end result of mosquitoes carrying the virus from the bird to these other animals. And so most of the time, infections that occur in humans, horses, and sheep or other animals don't cause much of a problem. It's a dead end host, and they don't have very much virus in them. But unfortunately, some animals have a reaction, and we don't know, you know, when that is going to occur, and it causes an encephalitis and a swelling of the brain, and can cause significant problems in those animals. And it's probably a relatively small percentage of these animals, but when it happens, it can be very dangerous to them.
I know horses can be susceptible. What types of things should their owners be looking for to maybe detect whether they might have West Nile virus?
Yeah, I was in practice in Headinger, North Dakota at the time when West Nile first came to us in the early 2000s. And, you know, what we saw was muscle tremors, weakness. A lot of animals that were just looked kind of were inactive. Some of them ended up dog sitting. Some of them just couldn't get up, and they just looked like they were very uncomfortable, a lot of twitching. And so if you're seeing an animal in that situation, it's time to, you know, contact your veterinarian. And there are some treatments that may be beneficial, you know, to take down the swelling and to assist those animals in their recovery. Some of them, it actually can end up being fatal. And so, you know, it's important to intervene early. There's also other problems that can look like that. So, you know, it's important to make sure that your, you know, a rabies situation could look very similar. And so a person wouldn't want to be sticking your hands inside the mouth of a horse that's having strange behaviors. They may not be with it enough to that they may injure you, and it could potentially be a rabies horse as well, which would be a rare chance, but possible.
Sure. According to the press release that I've seen come out of the North Dakota Department of Agriculture, it looks like we've got some animals, or animal, depending on the numbers, I guess, in Ramsey, McIntosh, Stark, Grand Forks, Barnes, and Nelson counties. My question to this is, you know, there is a vaccine for this. Is this something that people should just have done? Should they vaccinate their horse, or what would you recommend?
Vaccination works very well in horses, and so it's something that would be recommended. We did a great job of vaccinating after 2002, I think it was about then. And most of our horses were either developed immunity from exposure or were vaccinated. And I think it's easy to, you know, we've went a long time now where we get probably a certain amount of natural exposure from mosquitoes spreading it from the birds. And so we don't see it frequently. But as those horses the vaccinated horses are leaving, though unvaccinated horses are present. And so they may not have seen the virus recently. And so some of those will, you know, potentially be have a chance to get infected and get sick from it. So I certainly would vaccinate. We've had a great history of success with that vaccination.
I'm curious, Ethan, is it kind of like the anthrax vaccine where it's still, even though, you know, you get the vaccine, it takes several days for it to build up and work correctly. Is that the same thing with the vaccine for West Nile?
Absolutely. It's, you know, the protocol is going to require the first go around two shots. And so this virus is going to be potentially around until we get our mosquitoes eliminated, and as our birds head south, yeah, it'll decrease the you know, the carrier birds that can be a source. And so it will, we're getting kind of late in the year, you know, for vaccination, but if we have a warm fall, it could continue to linger on. So I would talk to your veterinarian and discuss, you know, if it's something that fits into your program. But it seems like we could have time yet this year.
One of the
be a problem.
Bad byproducts of finally getting rain is mosquitoes to appear.
Yeah, and actually, you know, with the drought situation, we were still seeing the West Nile showing up. And I think what ends up happening in those situations is we're watering around our houses, we're watering animals, and so the mosquitoes move, are looking for locations where birds are at, and they're looking for locations where water is at to lay their eggs. And so control of those sources of water where the mosquitoes can reproduce can be very helpful. And they are moved to our house, and so we need to prepare to try and not be exposed to those mosquitoes.
One last question on West Nile virus. So if somebody is going to do the vaccine, is that a yearly shot?
Typically the vaccination is a shot and a booster the first year, and then it's an annual booster. And a lot of times the veterinarians will try to time that out so that it's that booster is occurring in the spring or early summer, so that when West Nile kind of hits its peak, you have the maximum level of protection. And a lot of our birds have already started to move south, and so our mosquito population is kind of reaching its peak, and so those mosquitoes are looking for a place and an animal to draw blood. And unfortunately, horses and people and other animals become the reservoir or the site where the mosquitoes go.
Okay. Transition a little bit, just a couple of quick questions before we run out of time here. Drought issues, you know, finally, Ethan, we got some rain, which is good, but any byproduct out there of just the drought that from a veterinary standpoint that you're still watching?
Well, I think, you know, our biggest concern as we go into the fall is, you know, there's still going to be a shortage of hay and stuff to feed our animals. And I've been really reassured and pleased with how everyone's helping each other out. It's this little bit of moisture has brought some smiles back, and at least gives people hope. And make sure you're helping your neighbors out if you can, and make sure that you're doing what you can to take good care of your animals. And unfortunately, the drought is going to be hard on a lot of families, so make sure you're taking care of each other.
Yeah, and unfortunately, just because we've gotten rain recently, that doesn't help replenish, like you said, the pastures and other things. And still, some folks didn't get all the rain that they need. In fact, we could still use a bunch of rain, but just curious on
absolutely
that.
Absolutely.
And then ASF, last time we talked, obviously, that's a huge story worldwide, African swine fever. Cross our fingers, we never have to deal with it in the U.S., but as you and I were talking before we got on the air, the U.S. is still making preparations, because if it does get in the country, it can be a pain in the, well, anyway, to get rid of and to deal with. So maybe just tell us an update, what kind of things are going on right now?
Well, we're seeing a nice cooperative work between the federal government, state governments, and industry. Industry is very aware of the potential risk and hazards that come along with this virus. And so we just were in Des Moines about 3 weeks ago working with veterinarians and federal people all across the nation. And we put together, are working towards setting up ways to track the swine so that we can isolate areas specifically that are infected, and to be able to continue to provide our products to the world. And the federal government right now is working with other Puerto Rico and some of our territories outside the United States to set up barriers so that if it would happen to move from the Dominican Republic to those areas, that we could continue our trade. So there's a lot of activity that's going on within the industry and within the state and federal government to make preparations. Everyone kind of assumes at some point or another we're going to have a problem with this because it's, as we talked about and you brought up earlier, Germany continues to have some issues and problems. And so you have to be prepared that when it gets here to move quickly and try to get it stopped as fast as possible. And you have to assume it's going to get here and hope that it doesn't. And that's our game plan at this point.
Well, we appreciate the time of the North Dakota State Veterinarian, Ethan Andrus.